why he stays here. Hallelujah. I just thank you. He goes everywhere we go, and he participates in all we do. Amen.
Seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me. I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me. I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days.
Do something wrong? I'm just wondering if I've done something wrong before this morning. Are you tired? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty?
Jesus is calling.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen? Yes. God's in this place. Go ahead, guys. God, we ask for your favor. Come and sweep through this place. Oh, we desire you. I just want to be with you, be where you are, dwell in your presence, oh God. Oh, I want to walk with you. Your favor, come and sweep through this place. Oh, we desire you. I just want to be with you, be where you are, dwell in your presence, oh God. Oh, I want to walk with you. Registered with you how close God is to you until something bad happens and you need him. You, I know for myself that's the way it was. But it's amazing the love that he has for us, because no matter what we are, no matter where we are, saved or unsaved, the Lord loves us. He made us in his image. It's bad to see so many people that don't know him, and for the worst part, that don't want to know him, don't care. So how do you get through to that? How do you break through that? Well, it's called prayer, and it's called sharing. It's called loving, just like he did us. Amen? Because when he was carrying that cross to Calvary, he was loving us. He loved us every step of the way. He loved us through every nail that was driven in his hands and his feet. He was loving us when the Spirit was piercing his side. We serve an awesome God. Amen? It's pretty cool. Say, oh dear God, we ask for your favor. Come and sweep through this place. Oh, we desire you. I just want to be with you, be where you are, dwell in your presence, oh God. Oh, I want to walk with you. I will climb this mountain. Tell me what you want me to do, Lord God. Tell me what you want for my life.
It's yours, oh God, it's yours. Do your will, have your way. Be Lord God in this place. Oh, I want your will to be done. And I will climb this mountain. And I step off the shore. And I have chosen to follow Him. And be by your side forevermore. And I will climb this mountain.
Learning is a process. And understanding comes along with that process. Because I can read, and sometimes I take things differently than what you may take it. Just like reading the Bible. You and I can read the same scripture, and depend on what state of mind you're in, you'll get two different meanings. I was having a conversation with my cousin, and this topic was brought up. And he said that when he read the Bible, he just didn't understand any of it. My reply was, well, I was like that when I first got saved because it was a lot I didn't know. I said, so what I did, I learned how to pray before I open the Bible and ask God to reveal to me what the messages are. Later on, as I was learning, years before then, before I even really took interest in wanting to know how to understand the Bible, they gave me a spirit-filled Bible. And that's been my biggest asset. I'm going somewhere with this, so just bear with me. So I shared that with him. I said, maybe you need to find you a Bible that doesn't have the these and thous in it, but find you something that's more up to date on the wording. Well, he looked at me, and I said, it's the same. I said, I've read several different Bibles, and I said, the wording is the same. I said, the meaning is the same. I said, so if you'll go get you a Bible that explains to you what each scripture means and not what we think it means, I said, we'll be better off. So where I'm trying to go with this, sometimes life throws us a curveball, and what we see and think about a situation may not actually be how it really is. And why I need to put that out there, I don't know. God has a way of revealing things to us if we pray and ask Him.
Lots of times when you're traveling, you think you're alone, but then you look back and you realize that God was with you. You don't see. It's not always. It's like we talk about the miracles aren't all split in the Red Sea. It's the little miracles. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are in our lives today. The whisper, the turn. I wouldn't be. I mean, I went from thinking I was wondering if I was going to be alone the rest of my life, and shortly after met my wife. And tomorrow we're celebrating 18 years. Okay? But the point is, I wouldn't have thought, I don't know where I thought it would have been, but I wouldn't have thought 20 years ago I'd have been here. I was born and raised in Louisville. But then when you look back, you see where it's like the footprints thing. God carries you through. You just don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes you've got a traveling companion, you don't even know it. And you think, well, I did this. Not by yourself, you didn't. You look back, and that little push, that little turn, that little whisper, that the fact that, like, when you drive a car and it stalls or something, you're stuck in traffic, and then you go down the road 2 miles. Well, had you been there, you'd have been in a bad wreck. That type of thing. Well, little things. And people don't realize until they look back. It's like, I'm sure that when Christ was walking with the cross, most people didn't realize what was happening. And then as they learned and the word spread and they look back, they understand a lot better. And it just takes time for that to spread. But when you look back on things, it's a different view. It's like reading the scripture now and read it 10 years from now. Totally different meaning. Same scripture you read.
Ricardo, I have a word from somebody. I don't know who it is, and I don't know if it was or if it was for me. But all week long, and I don't know I've listened to the song most song I like, some of the song but the one phrase that stood out in my mind was "In the Eye of the Storm." And as I thought of that and as I listened to all the, all the programs and Weather Channel about the hurricanes and all that, and of course, especially because they were down there chasing it anyway. But, and it kept saying the quietness when the eye of the storm passed over. All the wind and the turmoil and the destruction that was up front and all that was sending out. But when this eye came over, it would stop. And it would tell the people, now don't go outside yet because there's more coming. You know what I'm saying? But what the Lord was wanting me to get out of it was, if I stay in the eye of the storm, then everywhere the eye of the storm goes, I'm going to have peace that Miss Pastor Shirley talked about that passes all understanding. And it's, it says it'll mount guard. It'll guard your heart and guard your mind. And because when we get out and we're not flowing with the Spirit of God and following the eye of the storm and just focusing on Him, we get distracted by all these things that are around us. And next thing you know, we're over here and we're in this mess and we're in that mess and we're calling on God for help. Well, praise God, He calls us, puts us right back in the eye, puts us right back in His eye. And here we go. Folks, we've got to learn how to hear and to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And to just say, God, is this you? Is this a direction you're going? If it's not, I don't want to be in that storm that's coming behind me. Stay under the eye of the storm. And when you think about those hurricanes anymore, that's where the airplanes fly around when they're out gathering information. They go from one side of that eye to the other. Because if they veer off, they got problems, but all those weather guys that are up in those airplanes, they're flying in the eye of the storm. Why? Because that's where the quietness and the peace of the Lord is. So I don't know who this is for, if it's just something that the Lord was telling me that, I don't have to look back and be concerned about what's coming. Why? I'm in the eye of the storm. I'm in the presence of God. I have the peace that guards my heart and my mind. I just pray that you receive that this morning and just get that, because I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. Laverne, you're in the eye of the storm. I said, okay, all right, I'm in the eye of the storm. He says, no, you're in the eye of the storm as long as you stay focused on me. Follow the guidance of my word. And guess what? Wherever that goes, guess what? That's where you'll go. You try to hang back, and guess what? There's storms back there. There's storms behind when you hang back and you don't go with the flow. This church is in the eye of the storm. And we're going where God's going. And you may say, I don't know if we've ever been this way before, Pastor Shirley. It doesn't matter. It's where God's going. Amen. I don't want to go back where I was, because guess what happens when you go back? What happens? You step back into storms. But guess what? If we go with the flow, the glory of the Lord, there's all kinds of words for it. Shekinah glory of the Lord following the eye of the storm. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I don't get here. I don't come up here and read a bunch of scripture and stuff because I mean this church knows the Bible, and that's awesome. But what I do is I share from my heart what's been revealed to me, and I'm out there every day, and I see the misery. You know, you can walk in Walmart and just stand still for a minute and just look at people.
Right.
I mean, it's awful. You know, you see some of the most miserable people in your life, and I am so thankful that I have the joy of the Lord inside
Amen.
Me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's awful how miserable people really are. It's sad that they don't understand that all I've got to do is say, yes, Lord, and it's done.
Amen.
It's done. But that's what I did. That's what I did. When I come to the realization that that part of my life, there was an end, and it's called death. Well, it's called prison for the rest of my life. And if I didn't change from those two points, it's called hell. But anyway, the God I serve is an awesome God. It doesn't take a whole lot to get people to hear it, but now they have to receive it. But it's our job to let them hear it, regardless if they receive it or not. Amen. What's that scripture to where it said somebody was didn't want to hear a message from the Lord? And if I'm not mistaken, it goes something like that I believe it was God told him to just kick the dirt off your sandals.
That's what Jesus told his disciples. If you go into a place,
keep right on going.
He told the 70 when he sent them out, he said, if they didn't want to hear what you have to say, just shut the door, go on down to the next one.
And that's what we need to do. We need to do that. I'll share this and then we'll continue. When we were back out at sea on this cruise, the captain come over and he was saying what was going on and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of that, this stuck out in my mind more than anything on this cruise. He let everybody know to pray about this situation and that God be with us. That was awesome to hear him say that. I like that part of the cruise. I like that. Everything else was just a vacation, but that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. To let you know the leader of your boat's got
Amen.
Prayer in his heart. That just
Amen.
Done me some good. Amen?
Amen.
But now, y'all, my wife liked to choke me to death. It was a bad night. And I didn't start any trouble with my marriage. She just liked to choke me to death. I'll tell you about it sometime. But anyway, I'm just glad to be back in the house of God. I'm glad to keep doing what I get to do.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
And all the time, God is good. Amen.
That you hear me when
You know, I went to a football game last night, and we got beat like a dog. Oh, don't be. That's the way that works. And you need to go repent no sooner you go home. I'll just throw you out there like that too. Because you're not, sorry. But anyway, what I was going to say is that, and I'm not picking on you, it just really registered. I sit and watch all, I guess there was maybe 70,000 people at this football game. And I took my phone and I just scanned it. And I sat back down and I thought to myself, I said, I wonder how many get up and go to church in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I wondered that. Now, how many will actually get up and attend church? And it was so loud in there. It was until about the end of the first quarter anyway. But after that, man, I mean, it's amazing that people don't think no more about what's happening after life. See, because we're just passing through this time. You know, we got a final destination, and this is not it. This is not it. And I just feel for people. I just really do. But what I am grateful about is that we know, and I'm grateful that we have made a decision to follow Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the great thing. So could I get the ushers to come forth, please? It's time to take up our offering for this evening, for this Sunday, please. And Lord, I just thank you right now for blessing each individual that provides for us, Heavenly Father. I thank you for blessing the individuals that take their time to come in here and clean, Heavenly Father, and do all things that are necessary, Lord God, to keep this church functioning. I just thank you for that. Thank you for all the pastors that we have here, and thank you for the word of, and thank you for all the understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eternity.
Normally this little gray-haired lady about this tall, and I watch her party every Sunday in church because she had her fun. And I look back at her, and I miss that because she was always up doing her thing. Amen? It's good to see you back here, Debbie. It's awesome. I love seeing you sit there. Danny, and I'm glad you're feeling better and glad you're doing better, and God's got this. Amen. God's in control of your life, and you allow that, so I know it's all going to be good. Even though Shirley drives your car. I do understand that, brother. Miss Rita? Yes, ma'am. You can do that. But let me, before you do, no. Stand up, please. But Miss Rita, thank you for filling that void.
I want to praise God. Because he is great. Two years ago, almost to this month, I was told that I was in stage 4 renal failure and that I was 5 points away from going on dialysis and that I had dodged a bullet. That's what the nephrologist said to me. So for the past 2 years, I've been trying to do, not perfectly, but 90% of the time, trying to do everything they've told me to do according to a renal diet and what the nephrologist said. No Coke products, no Cokes that you can see through. Very hard on your kidneys, by the way. Watch every pill I put in my mouth. Can't take any pain pills without their permission. Doing everything I knew to do, but I was also praying. And what he said was, we hope that we can stop this. And it might improve a little, but our main goal, this is medicine now, our main goal is to get it stabilized so that it does not go to the point that you have to go on dialysis. There's 5 stages to renal failure. I was in stage 4. So I've been going and doing my thing, and so I went this last week for my follow-up, and the nephrologist comes in, and he has a paper, and he lays it in front of me. He said, Miss Blankenship, would you like to look at your lab results? Every time I go to the nephrologist, they draw about 20 different lab tests that have nothing to do with anything but the kidney. Every one of them is normal.
Praise God. Amen.
All 20.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, God not only stopped my kidneys from progressing further, he healed them to the point that my lab work is normal. And see, I got a piece of paper that proves it, that it's normal. He has brought my kidneys back to a normal state of being. And I want to praise him for that.
Amen.
But God also told me a Christian principle. You talk about learning. Because the nephrologist looked at me and he said, Miss Blankenship, this does not give you, and this was his words, this does not give you, he's a foreign man, this does not give you the freedom to go back and get into your lifestyle and your eating patterns as you did before. Because your kidneys are healed does not mean you go back and you did what you did before. You keep doing what you're doing now.
Amen.
And you know what God showed me? Because I had time to think about this driving back from Danville. He showed me, it's like that verse in the Bible that says, because of grace, sin abounds, or we have that liberty that sin should abound. And Paul says, oh, no, no, no. You know what it showed me? That's the way we are. We get grace that covers us, brings us back to a perfect being spiritually. And he says, but that doesn't give you the right to go back and play in the same stuff that got you in the mess to begin with.
Amen.
Because if it
Amen.
Was dangerous then,
Amen.
It will harm you now.
Amen.
So yeah. Yes, God covered my kidneys with grace, but not to allow me to go back and play in
Amen.
The same playground.
Amen.
And that is a spiritual truth if anybody will ever think about it.
Woo, praise the Lord, amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I have a testimony for Jerry, too. He went and had they had been keeping watch of the arteries in his neck. Because last March, when they did all that kind of stuff, they were concerned about, said there was some buildup, and so they needed to see him. So he went in the other day, and the girl did it twice. Because the first time she did it, she compared it to what it was last March, and she said, well, this isn't the same. This is a lot less. Let me do it again. Guess what? Hey, he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. It may not all in the natural be gone yet, but guess where that dude's going? Down the drain. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Yes.
I was just sitting here thinking, and sitting here mainly because my body is just kind of not wanting to get up and do much this morning. And as a matter of fact, before I got up this morning, I was laying in the bed, and my body said, you don't even want to get up. You don't want to do anything. You don't feel like it. Well, I didn't pay attention to it. And so I'm here. And so, and Ricardo, one of the things that's been happening to me in the last few weeks, it seems like every time I turn around, see something on TV, or like you said, go to Walmart, and I look at all of these people that seems so miserable. And what a condition the world has gotten itself into. And I don't know what necessarily has happened that's caused this to be this way. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. But I look at all of these people that just seem to be going nowhere with no purpose. And yet at the same time, I think, and I don't feel like there's anything I can do for them. But then God reminded me, he said, no, there's a lot of them you won't be able to do anything for. As a matter of fact, most of them you won't be able to do anything for because you'll never have any contact with them. But he said, I've already done everything that they need. And as far as you're concerned, the people you meet and the people that you are around and the ones that you have opportunity, those are the ones that you have a chance to affect. And I'm sitting here this morning and, you know, I'm glad I'm here. And I was sitting here, and that music started. And my body didn't say too much about it. But something on the inside of me all of a sudden jumped up and said, your body may not feel like getting up and running or doing anything this morning, but you're going to have to do something because I am really after it in here this morning. And so that's why I'm sitting here, and if anybody's watching me, I might not have been standing up on the outside, but I was standing up on the inside.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear the sounds of nations singing out.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Lives in us, now greater.
praise and worship team, but everybody has the victory that believes on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Classes may be dismissed.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey.